Today's Perek in Tanakh is Shmuel Beit, Perek Yud Chet. And so we were left yesterday with the sense that the tide had turned. The very people that David was terrified of were the ones that ended up coming and supporting him, even down to Shimi ben Gera's wife. And so after meeting Shovi, the son of Nochash from Rabat, after he had destroyed the whole city, Mocher ben Amiel was the one who was central to maintaining the melucha of Ishbosheth. Barzillai HaGiladi, who may very well be the father of the man who ends up taking Merav away from David, and these are the people that support him. He recognized that Ritzot Hashem Darkei Ish Gam Oivav Yashlimu Imo. And because of that, we find in today's parak a completely different attitude on the part of David. Just as we saw yesterday, he was called HaMelech David after he himself had mentioned Avshalom with the title Melech. That change continues today as David once again reasserts himself over the army and as the tactician. Vayivko David et ha'am asher ito vayasem aleihem sarei alafim v'sarei me'ot. David regroups. He creates an army and points now officers as if he were actually acting within the Malchut. Vayishalach David et ha'am ha'shlishit b'yad Yoav, v'ha'shlishit b'yad Avishai ben Tzruya achi Yoav, v'ha'shlishit b'yad Itai ha'giti. And so he splits the army into three main groups, one led by his main general Yoav ben Tzruya, the other third led by Avishai also, the son of Tzruya, brother of Yoav. Remember, all of these were his nephews. Tzruya was his sister. The third grouping of the army was with Itai Hagiti, the individual that we saw was the one who had turned David aside from Avodah Zarah and had explained to him why it was that all of this had happened through the marriage with Ma'acha. Vayomer HaMelech el ha'am yatzoei tzei gam ani imachem. And he said to the people, I am going to lead the army as I was wont to do, as king always. Vayomer ha'am lo tetzei. Absolutely not. This is not a regular war. Ki im nos nanus lo yasimur eleinu leiv. If we were to be shattered in front of them and run from the battlefield, it would make absolutely no difference. For that matter, v'im yamutu chetzienu lo yasimur eleinu leiv. It's not a victory for them if they wipe out half of us. What difference does it make to them? Ki ata kamonu asara alafim. It would make no difference whatsoever us. What's important is in this war, ata, not in a normal war, but in this war, even if we were 10,000 times as many as we are today, the destruction of all of us would not be reckoned a victory to them. There's only one victory, and that's you. And therefore, if you come out with us, that's the worst possible thing that could be. Instead, v'ata, in this battle, tov ki tiyeh lanu me'ir la'azor. Better than anything else would be that you would be in the city, well protected, so that you can be there to help us, as the Targum says, to help us with your tefillot, and also, of course, to help us with your tactics, with your vision, with your perspective. Vayomer aleihem ha'melech asher yitav be'einichem e'eseh. That which you advise me and which you think is right, that's what I'll do. Vayamod ha'melech al yad ha'shar, and so the king stood by the gates. And he stood and watched as all of the soldiers passed in front of him to parade out to battle. And he made a point there of telling the three generals of the three groups of the army, Yoav, Avishai, and Itai. Remarkably, these three men were going out to fight an army that was being led by Amasa, who was the son of Abigail, the sister of Tzruya. So that this entire thing was very, very much a within Malchut Yehuda issue. And because of that, we must understand that it was essential for David to continue the line that was originally laid by Hushai Arki when he spoke to Avshalom the first time. And it was a brilliant line, because it would lay the groundwork for the ultimate reconstruction of the Malchut and healing the wounds of the civil war. The major danger of this particular battle was that it would turn into an all-out civil war. For the rest of Yisrael, remember, Midan Vad Beersheva had been, based on the advice of Hushai Arki, gathered together in order to meet up with David and to finish this off. What happened the first time that such an event, when it was under the control of Yoav, that what began as a simple gang fight to select a champion turned into a horrific civil war in which so many people were killed until somebody put a stop to it. He didn't want that to happen again. And therefore, he immediately played on that line. It's all family. Here's Yoav. There's Avishai. We're going to be fighting Amasa, all cousins. And therefore, he says, as they're going out, I want you to go easy with me, easy with the boy, with Avshalom. V'chol ha'am shom'u b'tzavot ha'melech et kol ha'sarim al dvar Avshalom. Everybody, he made a point that everyone should hear what it is that he commanded his officers that had to do with Avshalom. Now, the reason that this was so important was because the word would then get out that he did not view those who were with Avshalom as people that had turned their backs on him. And this is what Hushai said to Avshalom. When Avshalom said, boy, you're a heck of a reliable man, aren't you? Turning aside from my father to back me. Well, of course. He answers, well, of course. My loyalty is not with a man. My loyalty is with the Malchus. And if I was working as an evet for your father, am I turning my back on him by working for his son? Now, that was a brilliant thing to say, and it got out. And this is what David wanted to establish. Anybody that was kind to Avshalom is my friend. Instead of, you had all joined the enemy. And at that point, the minute Avshalom is out of the picture, everything is healed. But if it's two sides, then it's a disaster. So what appears to be a weakness of a father for a son is actually a brilliant political move, in which there is no danger of civil war as long as every soldier knows they mustn't touch Avshalom. Vayetze ha'am hasadeh likrat Yisrael, and so the men who were with David go out to the battlefield to attack the Yisrael army. Vatiyah milchama b'yar Ephraim. Now, of course, it couldn't really be in Yar Ephraim because David and his men had moved to Eva Yarden, and Ephraim didn't have any phalanx in Eva HaYarden. The reason that this is called Yar Ephraim is remarkable, because from here that we see one of the ten Tanaim that Yoshua had made when there was the Yerushat Ha'aretz, which is that people have a right to bring their animals in non-cultivated areas in order to graze them. Since this area was opposite, on the other side of the Yarden, the area of Ephraim, Ephraim had a right to allow their animals to graze there. And it was so much part of the area of Ephraim that it actually began to get the name of Yar Ephraim, because the locals weren't interested, because they weren't planting there. And it was Ephraim that was using the land for grazing purposes. So there is the war by Yar Ephraim, v'yinakfusham am Yisrael lifnei avdei David. And so, on the one hand, the true loyalty of David's men against the Am that identified themselves as Yisrael under Avshalom won out. V'tishama bagifa gidola b'yomahu esrim olef. And there was a disastrous loss of 20,000 people on that day. But not because it was that the army had gone out to be so vicious, but rather, but rather because the army was so dispersed over so wide an area, there were far more casualties, as has taken place at so many wars in the 20th century, far more casualties of the fact that the soldiers were out in the wild and didn't know their way around, were attacked by animals, were killed in ditches, were all types of things, losing their way, dying of thirst, and so on, more than were actually attacked by the army of David. And so it happened, Vayikare Avshalom lifnei avdei David, there is Avshalom, suddenly finds himself pursued by a group of David's servants, Avshalom was still in this war, riding his jaguar, as we saw before, the Pradim rose the signs of the rich and the spoiled. And as the parrot goes underneath the complex system of interwoven leaves in this massive tree, his hair, which we saw before, was an astounding growth because of his nezirut olam, got caught in the complexities, the shovach, the mess mix-up of the branches of the trees, and he finds himself hanging exactly as Achitofel himself, between the Shamayim Uvein Ha'aretz, and the parrot Asher Tachtav Avar continues to walk, leaving him almost a cartoon character hanging by his hair from a tree. Vayar ish echad vayaged li Yoav. And so one man saw it and went and told Yoav, Vayomer hinei ra'iti et Avshalom talui ve'ela. I saw Avshalom hanging on a tree. Now Chazal say, obviously he tried to cut himself off of the tree. All he needed to do was take his sword out and cut his hair and then get out of there. To be left in that kind of vulnerable position was mad. It's clear that he tried, he took out his sword, Vara'a gehenam patuach mitachtav. He had the sense if he cuts his hair, he's going to fall straight into hell. And remember that this is precisely what happens with Korach v'Adato, is that the Merida and Machloket, and we saw that this happened yesterday with Achitofel, he hangs himself, and he's hanging Bein Shamayim v'Aretz, and his dying words to his children are, don't start up with rebellions. You find yourself hanging over hell. And this is exactly how it happens to Avshalom, and we're going to see that the same type of words that are used in the story of the rebellion of Korach against Moshe Rabbeinu is used in the rebellion of Avshalom against David. And what's remarkable, if you recall, is that this entire book begins about the man who was the descendant of those who ended up being saved in that mered of Korach. Those who continued the path of Korach to destroy that which Shmuel had created, which was the Malchus that he did of the Mashiach of David, found themselves back in exactly the same place. What do you mean, hine ra'iti? A jerk. Hine ra'ita. This is not nice. And what am I supposed to do now? Give you a $10 bill? What do you mean, behold, I saw him? Why you should have killed him on the spot? Why should I be interested in, behold, I have seen? What are you, a Shakespearean actor? You would have done that, boy. You would have had a reward. I don't reward people who come back and give me information that's meaningless. Are you crazy? You could give me 1,000 kesef now into my hands. I wouldn't touch him. We all heard the orders in our own ears. He said it in front of us to you and to your brother and to Itai. Anybody who's in a position, me, meaning anybody, who's in a position, please take care of Avshalom. And what are you suggesting exactly? So what should I do then? I should do it and then not report it. Is that the idea? I would be lying to my own soul, not to mention the fact that v'chol davar lo yikached min ha-melech, that there's nothing that you can hide from the Melech David. Oh, and then you're going to come to the rescue, right? Ratatit yatzev mineged. You'll be sitting there watching. Not me. Vayomi off. Okay. Lo kein achila lefanach. I'm not going to sit here begging you. I've got enough guts myself. Vayikach shlosha shvatim bechapo. He takes 3 darts in his hands, goes to where the report was, vayitka'im b'lev Avshalom odenu chai b'lev ha'ela. He shoots them directly through Avshalom's heart while he hangs there in the heart of the tree. Why 3? And why in the heart? So Chazal tells us there were 3 hearts that we referred to earlier, Vayignov Avshalom et Lev Yisrael, he stole the heart. And he stole the heart with his phony politicizing the Marechet HaMishpat when people would come. He stole the Lev of Yisrael, we saw. He stole the Lev of the Sanhedrin with that whole plot that he had to bring out 200 people. And he stole his father's heart in pretending to care and wanting to come back to Yerushalayim. One dart per heart. Vayasobu asaran arim nos ekle yoav. And so 10 of the boys that were in charge of handling the ammunition for Yoav turned. Vayaku et Avshalom vayimituhu. He was Odeno Chai. They made sure he was dead. Vayitka Yoav bashofar. And so Yoav called off the army immediately. Vayoshev ha'amir dofachre Yisrael ki chasach Yoav et ha'am. Yoav too was afraid of civil war. And indeed Chazal say that the reason we see earlier that they weren't Rodef was because the Shechina prevented it from happening. They found they simply could not organize themselves to chase after the Israel. It was all meant to be aimed at Avshalom exactly as the vision had been of the possibility of restoring peace. Had they indeed turned it into a civil war, they would never have been able to tie together the wounds. Vaykuet Avshalom vayashlichot obayar ela pachat agadol. And so they took Avshalom's corpse and threw it in the city into a big ditch. Vayatzivo lav galavanim gadol ma'od. And put a pile of stones as if to say, we stone a child that acts this way to his parents. V'cho Yisrael nasu ish lo alav. And as it was found out, the entire army runs and leaves behind the battlefield, each to his own home. And it's all over. And this, of course, is the sign of the Galavanim Gadol Mod is the sign of the Ben Sorero Moreh, essentially, in which they take him to Sha'ar Iro, and that's the end of him. The Avshalom Lakach, and Avshalom had bought Vayatzev Lo Bechayav et Batzevet Hashabem Kamelech, and had set up, while still alive, a Matzeva, which could also be an actual building in which he would be buried, that had a memory of him in it, in the Emek HaMelech. Interesting. Why does it say Avshalom Lakach? There's one other place it says Lakach. Vayikach Korach. And it never says what he did. Vayikach Korach what? So as Chazal point out, by Korach, it means took himself to one side, made himself different. That's the sign of Machloket. Lakach Mekach Ralatzma. Bad investment. And the same exact word that's used here in the Medrash, Makach Mekach Ralatzmon, Gemara Sota. This is what he did to himself. And so he had built now this mausoleum, or this place for burial, which was in the Emek HaMelech, near the great places where the great were buried. For he said, Ein li bein, I have no son, Bavura Haskir Shemi, so that I should be remembered after my death. And he had an edifice complex. Vayikra lamatzevet Al Shmo, and so he called the building by his name. Vayikra la Yad Avshalom ad hayom hazeh, and it became known as Yad Avshalom. And of course, this the problem we had. We noted earlier, he had many sons. I don't have any sons, and we saw that machloket, as the Gemara says. There's a Kabbalah that we have that somebody who burns a chelka of tua of his friend does not leave a child to inherit him. And therefore, all of his children died. And the other man, the Amar, was Rav Chista. And that's Rav Chista, was Rav Yitzchak Bar Avadimi, who said that the reason that he said Ein li bein was not that he had no son, but he had no son that could be his Yoresh, that was suitable for the Malchut. And therefore, he felt that his name, as an important man, would be forgotten. V'achimaz ben Tzadok Amar, Arutzana ve'avasrat ha'melech. Tzadok son Achimatz, who was the one that was taking the messages back and forth between his father and David, so that this entire, the salvation of David had actually come through him, wanted very much to be involved in the close. And he told, now, Yoav, I want to go, I want to be the one to tell him. Kishifato Adonai miyado ivav, I want him to know that God now has judged him, delivered him from all of his enemies. Believe me, you are not a man who's going to be appreciated today as a bearer of great tidings, I promise you. How about taking your turn some other day, huh? Basically, what has happened is that you're going to be telling him that the child of the king has died. Instead, Yoav turned to the Cushi. So the Medrash says, this Cushi, whether it was literally a ger from Cush, or whether they used to call him Cushi because he was very dark-skinned, but he was the one that had seen it. That's why it says, Asher Ra'ita. So just don't tell him what happened. Tell him what you saw, that Avshalom was left hanging, and then everything will become clear, how it happened, that it was all Min HaShamayim. He needs to hear the story from an eyewitness. This is an insane story. I mean, it was so clearly that it was meant to leave them hanging. There's no way that this is normal. It's just the most strange thing. That here, Avshalom, the only one that we care about, is left hanging on a tree so that he should be killed. This wasn't a decision that anybody made. God made the decision. So go and tell him what you saw. And so, Hushi bows to Yoav without even responding and starts to run. I don't care. I want very much to be able to be part of this. Let me follow the Cushi. You don't seem to understand. I'm saying this for your own good, my son. Believe me, you don't have something that is going to get you any kind of appreciation. Motzet means to be found as something valuable. There's nothing valuable in what you have to say. V'ima, I don't care, said Achimatz. Arutz, I want to be part of it. I won't tell him bad things. I want to present it as good things. And then whatever is found out afterwards, but he deserves to be told about a victory, not to be told about his son. V'yomel Arutz, okay, go. See if you can do that. Now, anybody who has learned Shas knows how often that pasuk is brought in a context that seems to have absolutely nothing to do with the event. And it comes up again and again in the strangest way, because as the Gemara mentions in so many places, kol ha-mitzvot mevarech aleihen over la-siyatam. You make a bracha on a mitzvah before doing it, not after doing it. Says the Gemara, my mashma d'hai lishna d'over means before. Why do you say the word over la'siyatan? Oh, we learn that because it says that Achimatz went out vaya'avor at Akushi, which means that he passed him over. He came there first. So therefore it means getting there first. Now, this is absolutely astonishing. What in the world is the significance of this thing? That it should be the definition of the way in which we would want. So why use a crazy word and then need a pasuk every time to prove that over means lifnei? Just say, you make a bracha on a mitzvah lifnei asiyatan. So that means that Chazal have identified the drive of Achimatz as the commitment to first say a bracha. And then, be what may. And that's what he says, be what may. Let me tell him the good part. Let me give him the bracha. So we use the reference to Achimatz every single time we say that halacha. It's wild. And so is Vayavor et Akushi. David Yoshev ben Shnei HaSha'arim. And so, as was often the case, the city had an outer defense perimeter and inner defense perimeter. Two walls. And David was between the two walls. And they had a point, of course, they had the watch. The watch was on top of the higher wall, over the gate. And he lifts up his eyes and he sees, a man is running, alone. And so the crier calls. And he tells the king that there's a single man that's running. If he's alone, he's a runner with a message. He's got something to tell us. And he came closer and closer. And then he sees another man running, as Achimatz had taken over. Another man following. Now this was very important, because had the Cushi gotten there first, then the bad news would have been given first. The entire thing that Achimatz wanted to establish was first the bracha that Hashem had helped him. And therefore it was necessary for him to take the shortcut Derech HaKikar and get there before the Cushi. And so now he's coming and he's ahead. Vayomer HaMelech Gam Zeh Mevaser. There's a second message here, apparently. Vayomer HaTzofeh Ani Roet Merutzat HaRishon Kemerutzat Achimatz Ben Tzadok. The first guy, because now Achimatz had taken over, right? The first guy, nobody runs like that. That's got to be Achimatz. Vayomer HaMelech, oh, that's wonderful. Ish Tov, that's a good man. Lo Besorat Tova Yavo, he wouldn't come to tell me anything bad. There must be great news. And so at that moment, Achimatz runs up. Achimatz, Vayomer HaMelech, Shalom. Vayishtachol HaMelech HaPavarz. First thing you know, everything is great. Vayomer, Boruch Adonai Elohecha, Asher Sigar Et HaAnashim, Asher Nasu Et Yadam Baduni HaMelech. Thank God, who is your God, who has given over. Now he uses the word sigar, which can mean, of course, many things, but it could also be handed over as prisoners into the hands of your soldiers, those who were against you. It doesn't say it was destroyed or was shofet, but just has handed them over. Vayomer HaMelech Shalom Lenar Lav Shalom. Vayomer HaKimatz, I don't know. It was a terrible tumult. There's no way of knowing what was going on, and I saw that everybody was trying to decide what to do. Should we run first and give the information and gradually fill it in with other people? And so they had all come with Shuach and Eved HaMelech Yoav, Vetavdecha V'lo Yadati Ma. I don't know what's going on with the details. I was only given this wonderful news to come and tell you. Vayomer HaMelech, so the king says, okay, but there's another guy that's got more advanced news coming after you. So turn now, he gets Sivko, and let's hear what he has to say. Just stand here. Vayso vayamod, he turns to the side. Vine akushiba. And it was at that moment that the Kushi came to Ilu with new information that was added after Achimatz. Vayomer akushi yitbaser adonai amelech kishefatcha adonai ayom yad kol akamim alecha. Uh-oh. Not the good sounding thing. God has judged. Judged usually means has executed the judgment. Vayomer HaMelech HaKushi HaShalom Lenar Lav Shalom. I don't like the way that sounds. Vayomer HaKushi, you kinar oyvei Adoni HaMelech. May all of your enemies be like that boy. V'chol HaShekamu Alecha L'ra'ah. All those who had stood up against the king for evil. And so he knew.